Lecture topic, Divine Light Amidst Modern Darkness, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man ihtada bihadyihi wa qtada bisunnatihi ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد قل ربي أعلم من جاء بالهدى ومن هو في ضلال مبين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم طوبى لعبد جعله الله مفتاحا للخير ومغلاقا للشر او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, there is no human in the annals of history whose life has been captured in such minute detail like the blessed and sacred life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was expelled from Mecca and banished from his native land, and he had to take shelter in the cover of darkness of night and travel and migrate to Medina Munawwara, it was his strategic eye that he did not take the conventional route, he did not tread on the common path, so that the intelligence and the surveillance of the disbelievers cannot apprehend and intercept him. So he used an uncommon and unusual path. I was reading Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, first volume on page 180, and trust me, this was an irresistible read. History has preserved the precise locations through which the Nabi of Allah traveled from Mecca to Medina once in his entire life. The scholars of history have written, I'll just run you briefly through it, I was so overwhelmed by this year. So it's an uncommon, it's the unusual, it's not the conventional route. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled through a place called Kharrar, Thaniyatul Mara, Laqf, Mudlajatul Laqfin, Mudlajatul Mijajin, Marjahu Mijajin, Batne Marjah, Batnu Dhati Kashdin, Al Hadaid, Al Adakhir, Dhu Salam. At Batne Raykh, he performed Maghrib Salah. Even this is recorded. They performed Maghrib Salah at Batne Raydh, Dhu Salam, Mudlajah, Al-Uthaniya, Batnul Qaha, Al-Araj, Al-Jadawat, Al-Ghabir, Rakuba, Batnul Atiq, Al-Jathjatha, Al-Dhabi, Al-Usba, and then he came to Quba. 22 odd locations through which he went. History captured this in the minutest detail. And on page 179 of Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, the couplets of Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he encapsulates this journey. He says, لَقَدْ خَابَ قَوْمٌ غَابَ عَنْهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ لَقَدْ خَابَ قَوْمٌ غَابَ عَنْهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ. Destruction is inevitable for a nation who expels their Nabi. And I amplify the sentiments of Hassan ibn Thabit, and I say destruction is inevitable for that human who expels the life of Nabi from his home. It's inevitable, he says, this is going to fall in your lot. وَقُدِّسَ مَنْ يَسْرِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَغْتَدِي. And good fortune is inseparable from those who receive their Nabi. وَقُدِّسَ مَنْ يَسْرِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَغْتَدِي. Under the commentary of this ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُنُوا أَنصَارَ اللَّهِ. O you who believe, become the helpers of Allah. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullah alayhi in Tafsir Uthmani writes, the residents and the Sahaba of Medina lived up to this injunction of the Quran to such an extent that they did not only assist and aid and become helpers, their name became helpers. Their name became helpers. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu ansar Allah. وَقُدِّسَ مَنْ يَسْرِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَغْتَدِي تَرَحَّلَ عَنْ قَوْمٍ فَزَالَتْ عُقُولُهُمْ. What sanity and intelligence can be left from an individual or in an individual who expels the life of Nabi from his life? The one who drives the life of Muhammad out of his life, The words of Hassan ibn Thabit, Allah's Nabi had three poets. Hassan ibn Thabit, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, and Ka'b ibn Malik. Hassan ibn Thabit was on the top of the list in terms of the poets of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, "Tarahhala an qawmin fazalat uquluhum." If you banish the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is no intellect left for you. And yet the Nabi of Allah told us in the hadith of Bukhari, a time will come, يُقَالُ لِلْرَّجُلْ مَا أَعْقَلَهُ وَمَا أَظْرَفَهُ وَمَا أَجْلَدَهُ وَمَا فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ إِيمَانٍ. People won't tire making lavish praises. He's phenomenal. He's mind-boggling. This guy is great. He's awesome. He's brilliant. But the Nabi of Allah said he won't have place in his heart, neither for Allah nor for me. But the world will praise them. وَقُدِّسَ مَنْ يَسْرِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَغْتَدِي تَرَحَّلَ عَنْ قَوْمٍ فَزَالَتْ عُقُولُهُمْ وَحَلَّ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بِنُورٍ مُجَدَّدِي. And the one who receives the Nabi of Allah is independent of all other forms of brightness. Then he goes on to say, وَهَلْ يَسْتَوِي ظُلَّالَ قَوْمٍ تَسَلَّعُوا عَمَنْ وَهُدَاتٌ يَهْتَدُونَ بِمُهْتَدِي. What an insult to endeavor to equate between those who expel and those who embrace. وَهَلْ يَسْتَوِي ظُلَّالَ قَوْمٍ تَسَلَّعُوا عَمَنْ وَهُدَاتٌ يَهْتَدُونَ بِمُهْتَدِي نَبِيٌ يَرَى مَا لَا يَرَى النَّاسُ حَوْلَهُ نَبِيٌ يَرَى مَا لَا يَرَى النَّاسُ حَوْلَهُ وَيَتْلُو كِتَابَ اللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ مَشْهَدِي. A Nabi who is divinely inspired by Allah regarding future happenings. A Nabi who is divinely inspired by Allah. I'm being very selective in my translation if you appreciate the Arabic. نَبِيٌ يَرَى مَا لَا يَرَى النَّاسُ حَوْلَهُ. A Nabi who is divinely inspired by Allah regarding future happenings. وَيَتْلُو كِتَابَ اللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ مَشْهَدِي. And Sahaba, your fortune, no words can describe. Wherever you went in a gathering, it was the Nabi of Allah reciting Quran. I often quote the couplets of Abdullah ibn Rawaha, which is in Bukhari Sharif in the first volume on page 155. Haytham ibn Abi Sinan says he heard from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who says that the Nabi of Allah paid tribute to Hassan ibn Thabit. Inna akhan lakum la yaqulu ar-rafath. This great Sahabi, this brother of yours, never utters anything obscene. He never utters anything vile. And what were the couplets? Wafina Rasulullahi yatlu kitaba. Just this stanza of the poem, this first verse sums up the honor of Sahaba. He starts off on the note and he says, you pride yourself with a president. You pride yourself with a prominent personality. We are proud to tell the world amongst us is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Oh, the group of Sahaba, you need to remind yourself, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resides within amongst yourself. So he says, وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Amongst us is the Nabi of Allah. يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ. Reciting the Quran. The pinnacle of nobility, the combination of excellency. Understand the golden era of Nabuwat. The group of Sahaba. Everyone you look at there has an independent accolade of being in Jannat. Everyone, someone is a veteran of Badr, someone is a veteran of Hudaybiyah, someone was here, someone did that. So every man there is a person who's earned Jannat. And then to crown this gathering is the Nabi of Allah. And then he's reciting Quran. When, as it is the flush of dawn, the break of dawn, إِذَنْ شَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ أَرَانَ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى. He showed us light after we lived the life of blindness. فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ. Abdullah ibn Rawaha said, I will doubt what my eye has seen, but I will never doubt what my Nabi has said. فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ. Which Hassan ibn Thabit goes on in his couplets. He says, فَإِنْ قَالَ فِي يَوْمٍ مَقَالَةَ غَائِبٍ فَإِنْ قَالَ فِي يَوْمٍ مَقَالَةَ غَائِبٍ فَتَصْدِيقُهَا فِي ضَحْوَةِ الْيَوْمِ أَوْ فِي غَدِي. فَإِنْ قَالَ فِي يَوْمٍ مَقَالَةَ غَائِبٍ. If the Nabi of Allah prophesies something of the future, either you'll see it today or tomorrow, but you won't die without seeing it. فَإِنْ قَالَ فِي يَوْمٍ مَقَالَةَ غَائِبٍ فتصديقها في ضحوة اليوم أو في غدير. And then he says, when I wrap up my couplets and I speak about the sacred journey, I will be doing an injustice if I omit the giant Abu Bakr, who was privileged with being the companion in this journey. لتهني أبا بكر سعادة جده لتهني أبا بكر سعادة جده بصحبته من يسعد الله يسعدي. Abu Bakr, we will never dare omit your name in the occasion of migrating from Makkah to Medina. That is why when somebody whispered in the ears of Umar, he said, أنت خير من أبي بكر. Umar, I must say to you, the world raves about Abu Bakr and the world chants the slogans of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But honestly, I believe you excel Abu Bakr. Abu Umar radiallahu anhu, as it is, his stern nature, his harsh nature, he said, my brother, I don't want to ever hear this and I don't want to ever entertain this here. He said, لَلَّيْلَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَيَوْمٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أُمَرٍ وَآلِ عُمَرٍ. The night when Abu Bakr accompanied the Nabi of Allah, the night when the Nabi of Allah accompanied the Nabi, when Abu Bakr accompanied the Nabi of Allah from Makkah to Medina, if you put that on one side of the scale, and you put my good deeds and that of my progeny till Qiyamah, it won't equate this virtue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And I think it is opportune for me at this time to pay tributes to the giants and the stalwarts like Maulana Abbas Sahab and other prominent, my Ustad Qari Ayub Sahab, Hazrat Maulana Abbas Sahab. These are really the great giants of our community and many other ulama. Forgive me if I've omitted anyone. What they've done in the early days, I'm merely a simple person speaking few words. It's their great efforts and legacy that we continue to pluck the fruits of the efforts in the early days. May Allah preserve them with afiyah. فَإِنْ قَالَ فِي يَوْمٍ مَقَالَةَ غَائِبٍ فَتَصْدِيقُهَا فِي ضَحْوَةِ الْيَوْمِ أَوْ فِي غَدِي لِتَهْنِ أَبَا بَكْرٍ سَعَادَةُ جَدِّهِ بِصُحْبَتِهِ مَنْ يُسْعِدِ اللَّهُ يَسْعَدِي. The last part is so amazing. The whole talk can go on these couplets of Hassan ibn Thabit, believe me. مَنْ يُسْعِدِ اللَّهُ يَسْعَدِي. The one whom Allah privileges, none can strip that honor from him. The one that Allah privileges, none can strip that honor from him. And then Hassan ibn Thabit said, Umm Mabad, the Nabi of Allah stayed at you. He ate at you. We won't forget you also. لِيَهْنِ بَنِي كَعْبٍ مَكَانُ فَتَاتِهِمْ وَمَقْعَدُهَا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ بِمَرْصَدِي. Surely Allah positioned you at the right location, that as my Nabi was traveling and making his way to Medina, your house fell en route and this honor fell in your lap. Good luck to you. Good luck to your tribe. Good luck to your progeny. That one of their sisters and women fed the Nabi of Allah in his historical migration. And one poet in Allama, in Al-Khasais Al-Kubra, I read this poem here. He says it in a very more amazing way. He says, go to the house of Ma'bad. Now the incident is very long. Nabi Sassam milked a goat. He milked a goat which was thin and lean and weak and frail and had no milk. But miraculously he milked it and the milk came out. So the poet says, go to Ma'bad, congratulate her, salute her. But in case you don't find Ma'bad, you will find that goat. Even speak to the goat will tell you the tale. Salu ukhtakum an shatiha wa ina'iha fa innakum in tas'alu shata tashhadi. Salu ukhtakum an shatiha wa ina'iha fa innakum in tas'alu shata tashhadi. Speak to Ma'bad, and if she's not there, speak to the goat will tell you how honored I am. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, Shamsuddin Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Undulusi, I read this in Al-Madaih al-Nabhaniyya, he captures and he paints this image to the Madinites. Hanakum ya ahla taybata qad haqqa fa bil qurbi min khayril wara huztum as-sabqa. Hanakum ya ahla taybata qad haqqa fa bil qurbi min khayril wara huztum as-sabqa. فَلَا يَتَحَرَّكْ مِنْكُمْ سَاكِنٌ إِلَىٰ سِوَاهَا وَإِنْ جَارَ الزَّمَانُ وَإِنْ شَقَّى فَكَمْ مَلِكٍ رَامَ الْوُصُولَ لِمِثْلِ مَا وَصَلْتُمْ فَلَمْ يَقْدِرْ وَلَوْ مَلَكَ الْخَلْقَى فَبُشْرَاكُمْ نِلْتُمْ عِنَايَةَ رَبِّكُمْ فَهَا أَنْتُمْ فِي بَحْرِ نِعْمَتِهِ غَرْقًا تَرَوْنَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كُلَّ سَاعَةٍ تَرَوْنَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كُلَّ سَاعَةٍ وَمَنْ يَرَهُ فَهُوَ السَّعِيدُ بِهِ حَقًّا أَمِنْتُمْ مِنَ الدَّجَّالِ فِيهَا أَمِنْتُمْ مِنَ الدَّجَّالِ فِيهَا فحولها ملائكة يحمون طرقا. أها هناكم يا أهل طيبة. He says every honor can be disputed, but if there's a unanimous privilege, it's those that live in Medina. There's no second opinion. You can say he's great by your definition. He's not necessarily great by my definition. We beg to differ. Different strokes for different folks. That might be good for you, not for me. But when it comes to the residents of Medina, unanimously, Hanakum ya ahla taybata qad haqqa. Surely congratulations to you. Fabil qurbi min khayril wara. Fabil qurbi min khayril wara. Huztum as-sabqa. Allah privileged you with proximity to the most sacred location. فَلَا يَتَحَرَّكْ سَاكِنٌ إِلَىٰ سِوَاهَا. He makes a plea to the residents of Medina, regardless of economic volatility, regardless of climate change in Medina, please don't ever relocate from Medina. Nabi alayhi salam said, لَا يَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ لَأْوَاءِ الْمَدِينَةِ وَشِدَّتِهَا أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي إِلَّا كُنْتُ لَهُ شَفِيعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. When there is a wedding at home, then the mother has to forget her fuss. My daughter's in-laws are coming, and she won't like it if I fuss and I moan and I groan. You respect the sentiments of your daughter. You overlook all your fuss. The Nabi of Allah said, when you come to Medina and you have certain unpleasant occurrences, respect it because it's the city of your Medina, of your Nabi. Respect the city of Medina because it's the sacred place of your Nabi. And if you respect it, I will hold your hand and put you in Jannah. لا يصبر على لأواء المدينة وشدتها أحد من أمتي إلا كنت له شفيعا يوم القيامة. He goes on to say, فكم ملك رام الوصول لمثل ما وصلتم. There are how many kings and rulers who tried over the period of time to get where you are. They didn't have luck after owning the whole world. Allah put it in your lap. Value what Allah has given you. Then this poem really hit me the most when I was reading through it. He says, ترون رسول الله كل ساعة. When I'm depressed, I go to my parents and may Allah reward them. Someone goes to a senior and may Allah preserve him. Otherwise, someone goes to a mentor and he receives guidance. But oh, the dwellers of Medina, when you had a long day and you're tired and you're exhausted, all you got to tell your wife, I'm coming late, I'm going by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like, can you imagine this? ترون رسول الله كل ساعة. وَمَنْ يَرَهُ فَهُوَ السَّعِيدُ بِهِ حَقَّا. How can you classify a day devoid of good when on that day you've seen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What do you need? You can't come home and say, I had a bad day. You've seen Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ يَرَهُ فَهُوَ السَّعِيدُ بِهِ حَقَّا. أَمِنْتُمْ مِنَ الدَّجَّالِ فِيهَا. أَمِنْتُمْ مِنَ الدَّجَّالِ فِيهَا. The whole world is in panic and rightfully so. The whole world is in stress and rightfully so because of the supreme horror that will plague the planet in the form of Dajjal. But if there are two people that can sigh with relief, it's the residents of Makkah and the residents of Medina. My Nabi said he will try his level best, but the Malaika will deny him entry into Medina. So while we are holding back our breath, you residents of Medina can sigh with relief. Lisanuddin Khatib is another poem I read in the same book, Al-Madaih al-Nabahaniya. When he passed away, few people seen him in a dream. And they asked him, how did you fare before Allah? He said, غُفِرَ لِي بِبَيْتَيْنِ هَذَيْنِ. I sang in my life two couplets, and Allah loved that the most. None of my ibadat was accepted, but two praises in the honor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah forgave me. يا مصطفى من قبل نشأة آدم والكون. يا مصطفى من قبل نشأة آدم والكون. لم تفتح له أغلاق أيروم مخلوق ثناءك بعدما أثنى على أخلاقك الخلاق. O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, before Adam was created, before the universe was formed, your praises were in every scripture. Your name was honored and glorified. أَيَرُومُ مَخْلُوقٌ ثَنَاءَكْ. How does the creation endeavor to praise you? When we open the Quran, we realize every page of the Quran lavishly praises you. أَيَرُومُ مَخْلُوقٌ ثَنَاءَكْ. بعدما أثنى على أخلاقك الخلاق. Our theme today is divine light amidst modern darkness. Honestly, brothers, the world desperately needs light. And we need this inner light and we need this divine light. And I'm optimistic from Allah that in this blessed and sacred and momentous moment, He will inspire and instill and infuse and imbibe within us some of that celestial and divine light of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Quran, when it draws the parable of the layers of darkness in the life of disbeliever and infidel, amazingly Allah says, ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Allah says there are some people who have so many layers of darkness. The parable, the example, the similitude is of a man deep down in the ocean, covered with a wave. Above him is another wave. Outside it's gloomy and cloudy. So layers upon darkness. But look at the profoundness of the description of the Quran, and may Allah give us the true love of the Quran. Allah said there is so much darkness. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ. If this man in the depth of the ocean has to expose his hand. Now appreciate the parable of the Quran. Allah used hand as an example. Scholars of tafsir tell us hand is that organ and limb of the body. You can draw it close to your eye as much as you want to. So you have the liberty, the luxury, the ease to draw that hand closer and closer. Literally put it before your eye. Allah says, if I deny you light, even if your hand is touching against your eye, you won't see your hand. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورٍ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. So what is this divine light? Now I want to speak on one particular aspect of the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But before I do so, let me do a basic exercise with you. If I ask you, my brother, and perhaps my sister listening over the airwaves, close your eyes for a moment. And I'm not hypnotizing. Please, I'm not hypnotizing anyone. If I say close your eyes for a moment and visualize the ideal world, sketch an image of the perfect world, surely the common sentiment from all would be, with a variation of expression, but the common thread that will bind all the opinions would be, a place free from discord, free from bickering, free from skirmishes, free from altercation, no tragedies, no catastrophes, no divorces, no orphans, no battles, no victims, no victors. That's the place that we all would aspire to. But flip the coin, the harsh reality is, it is inevitable in the real world. It is inevitable in the real world. Hence, as you and I speak, a battle has been fought, a life has been lost, a woman has been divorced, and believe it or not, another child becomes an orphan. That's the reality. But more painful than all this is, the average human has somewhat become complacent and has become immune to all this. So I can listen to the worst of catastrophes. Yeah, well, that's life. Move on. I don't know if the tragedy hurts me more or the immunity to the tragedy hurts me more. And leave the average human, the so-called architects of our society, guardians of our affairs, custodians of our organizations, parliamentarians of our cabinet, have lost the passion to save one life, have lost the desire to diffuse volatility and avert hostility. So here's my thinking, and may Allah guide me. These are the type of thoughts that cross my mind, and I consolidate it and put it before you. Whatever Allah is correct is from Allah. To change strides and simplify my theory, there is a medical patient here who's got a chronic condition. The surgeons of the world unanimously agree that you cannot alleviate his condition. You cannot remove his sickness. It's a thing that will live with him. It's chronic, and he has to be on chronic medication. However, if he is on a disciplined diet, we can reduce the risk factors. If he is on a disciplined diet, we can reduce the risk factors. By Allah, the planet, by its very nature, is a chronic place. You won't able to free this world from turbulence, from adversity, from discord, from skirmishes. This is inherent, inborn, and intrinsic to the existence of man on earth. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. We've ordained a life of difficulty for man on earth. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِينَ. But the difference between today and the yesteryears was those that were driving this planet, those that were the pilots of this ship, they had the ability and maturity to diffuse the situations, thereby keeping this chronic planet under a disciplined diet and minimizing its risk factors. And today the problem is, we are talking, you know, you say, hey man, this man's got sugar and you know what, you need to, I'm over with him, I'm over. I told the man not to drink this, not to eat this, not to indulge in this, but he goes on a party and then you got to administer a drip, you got to admit him, you got to discharge him. So today I present before you anecdotes, and I'm grateful for the time afforded to me, and I hope I can, I'm told 1.5 hour, inshallah, I will try my level best to honor that. And jazakallah to Maulana Sayman Sab, Maulana Saeed, they were kind of drumming this in my ears, I'm giving you 1.5 hour. I hope I can drive this message adequately and impress upon you sufficiently how the Nabi of Allah diffused situations. There's turbulence, there's issues, marriages are rocky, imam and trustee is rocky, ruler and subjects are rocky. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's words come to my mind. He said, Alhamdulillah alladhi mala'a qalbi lahum rahma wa mala'a qulubahum li ru'ba. I'm so grateful to Allah. He has filled my heart with empathy and sympathy for the subjects. And I'm equally grateful to Allah. He has filled the hearts of the subjects with respect and awe for me. And this balance brings about the ideal situation, and the Muslim Ummah is only in glory and prosperity. That the ruler has the sympathy and empathy. So we take the first incident, starting on a more micro scale and progressing to the macro level. The narration is in Majma'u al-Zawa'id, in Kitabu Alamatin Nubuwa. The hadith raqam is 13999. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I was traveling with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We walked through a marketplace. Just then a woman came and she held onto the reins of the conveyance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she came and she complained about marital turbulence. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, farriq bayni wa bayna zawji. O Nabi of Allah, I want an annulment to my relation. Enough is enough. The words of the narration, wa huwa min abghadhi khalqi Allahi ilayya. I hate him, I abhor him the most in Allah's entire creation. The Nabi of Allah is calm, he's composed. What did I say? Turbulence, and this is nature, this is inherent to the world. You won't be able to rid the world of this. To have issues in marriage, that's chronic. But what we require, that is why I said to someone, I am not aspiring to have a hiccup-free relation, because the Nabi of Allah had hiccups in his marriage. I am aspiring to have the broadness of his shoulders and the wisdom of his eyes. That's what I want. When I'm telling you, you're getting married and you're asking me to advise the bride and the groom, they say a woman gets married to a man with the hope that he will change, but he never changes. And a woman gets married, and a man gets married to a woman with the hope that she'll never change, but she changes. You know, when I got married to her, she was like this man, but hey, she changed. And she's saying, you know, Maulana, the promises he made to me, he will change, but he never changed. So when I'm giving you advice, I'm not giving you the formula to have a hiccup-free life. I'm giving you the formula to have the broadness of shoulders of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By Allah, if you have that broadness and I have it, there will even be pleasure in our altercations. And when we don't have that broadness, there is misery even if in our so-called blissful moments. I had calls from people, when I divorced my wife, where are you? Actually, we're on honeymoon. Wait. Where are we? I'm out on an outing for a holiday, and there something erupts, and there something becomes bitter and unpleasant. So I don't want to digress because I have a few incidents to share with you. Here she comes. The Nabi of Allah listens to a tale. Just then her husband passes by. Nabi SAW said, مَا لَكَ وَلَهَا جَاءَتْ تَشْكُ مِنْكَ جَفَاءً. Why, what's the problem? Your wife is complaining. There's some turbulence and the marriage is not very settled and very stable. So he said, وَالَّذِي أَكْرَمَكَ بِالنُّبُوَّةِ. I swear by Allah who has sent you as a Nabi, this is news to me. I'm very happy with my wife. I don't know what she's talking about. Anyway, but that's what it is. وَبَكَتِ الْمَرْأَى. And the woman started crying. Emotional breakdown, a woman's composition, her anatomy, her disposition, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created her. Now look at the calmness of Nabi alayhi salam, and that's my message. How do you diffuse a situation? The first thing the Nabi of Allah did was, تَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Nabi alayhi salam heard everything, he gave a broad smile. In English they say, 10% of conflicts are due to difference of opinion. and 90% are as a result of the incorrect body language. 10% of conflicts are due to difference of opinion. You have an opinion, I have it. But your arrogance, your chip on the shoulder, your attitude, your bounce, that what intensifies the rage. So the Nabi of Allah gave a broad smile. Then he made a dua, which I try in my humble way to make dua for the couples that come and I have to counsel. But surely I don't have the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Allahumma adni kulla wahidin minhuma min sahibihi. Allah, they are quarreling, they bickering. Allah, I'm asking you, and I ask the arbitrators, and I ask the guardians, and I ask the seniors, when they come and the youngsters who are inevitable to fall and get hurt, and they come back to you, do our senior folks have that maturity to make a dua and ask Allah to mend and unite the relation? Jabir radiallahu anhu said, the Nabi of Allah made a dua, the gathering dispersed. فَلَبِثْنَا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن نَلْبَثْ. We hanged on for time. We were walking through the same marketplace sometime later. There at the distance we see this woman. She has a piece of leather in her hand. تَرَحَتْ. She drops it. أَقْبَلَتْ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. She comes running to the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَالَّذِي بَعْثَ بِالْحَقِّ نَبِيًّا مَا خُلِقَ مِنْ بَشَرٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْهُ. O Nabi of Allah, I want to retract and I want to revoke my sentiments. Initially, my stance was, I hated him the most. By Allah, I adore my husband the most. I adore him the most. You might tell me, my brother, it's easy to diffuse when it's someone foreign and strange. But as the matter draws closer to home and it involves your personal sensitivity, then it's difficult. The hadith of Bukhari, the Nabi of Allah comes home. He visits Fatima radiallahu anha. Where is Ali? She said, things haven't been too stable. We had an altercation and he's gone out. The Nabi of Allah said nothing. Now you want to talk of psychology. You want to talk of therapy. You want to talk of reading into the sentiments of people. Look at the psychology of Nabi alayhi salam. He didn't engage. He didn't get his daughter's opinion. He didn't expound on her theories. He said, okay, fine. He went to the masjid. Fathul Bari has got a great write-up on this here. Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani writes. He says, number one, وفيه أن أهل الفضل قد يقع بينهم وبين زوجته ما طبع عليه البشر من الغضب وقد يدعو ذلك إلى الخروج ولا يعاب عليه. The first thing we learn, the best of relation has turbulence. The best of relation has turbulence, and sometimes these crises are so compelling that one needs to leave the house, and all this is within the act of Islam, provided you don't leave the house and roam the haram places. I must qualify my statement. Because sometimes exiting can end up in something more worse venues, and then you are just thrown with a different SMS. You can imagine how vulnerable a person is at that time. What was the psychology of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He comes to the masjid. He approaches Sayyidina Ali. He doesn't feel, no, he's a son-in-law, he must come to me. I'm the Nabi of Allah. No, the Nabi of Allah, I need to defuse this. So what do we learn from this here? وَفِيهِ كَرَمُ خُلُقِ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لأنه مشى نحو علي ليترضاه. He goes to Sayyidina Ali. He doesn't touch the topic of the altercation. In fact, he lightens the mood and he drops down the entire heat that is in the air. How? By using a humorous phrase, a light-hearted expression. He says, Ali, you've been lying in the sand. I don't think I must call you Ali. You look more like a dusty character. Now look at the words of Nabi alayhi salam. You look more like a dusty man. Qum ya Aba Turab. Qum ya Aba Turab. Stand up, O dusty man. Just digress objectively. Sayyidina Ali used to say in the latter part of his life, people call me Ali, I love it. But if people call me Abu Turab, I adore it. Because that is what the Nabi of Allah called me. So I prefer that title over Ali. Da'abahu bil kunniyatil madhkura. Nabi sallam then walks him home, takes him back at home, puts them together, reconciles, gets the smile. Without involving himself into the altercation, he exits with a broad smile. Someone is like, O Nabi of Allah, you're so jubilant and excited and overwhelmed. Why should I not be happy when Allah made me the means of reconciling between two whom I love the most? The famous hadith of Bukhari and the incident of Ifk. Now the issue comes home much more sensitive. Right, we all hear it, anyone who counsels, then what you are told, sometimes you must do what you tell others. You counsel the whole world, it's easy. But how about applying that same methodology at home? We know the very nasty allegation of infidelity leveled against our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Now look at the doing of Allah in its perfect wisdom. Remember my sentiments? The world is a chronic place. Allah's Nabi's marriage wasn't rescued from this year. No other marriage can be rescued. We're not asking to rid the world of the problems. عِشْ فِي الدُّنْيَا مُوسِرًا إِنْ شِئْتَ أَوْ مُعْسِرًا لَا بُدَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْغَمِّ دُنْيَاكَ بِالْأَحْزَانِ مَقْرُونَ لَا تَقْتَعِ الدُّنْيَا بِلَا هَمِّ. Live with the best of women or wed the simplest of partners. Have an empire or you don't have enough bread to break even. Every one of you will have different challenges in his own life. Appreciate the daunting nature of this relation. The stigma on our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha. In the wisdom of Allah, he withholds revelation for 1 month. This withholding of revelation is exploited by the munafiq elements to give momentum to the nasty campaign. وَقَدْ لَبِثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَهْرًا لَا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ بِشَيْءٍ. So no revelation, just silent. 1 month goes. In the interim, Aisha radiallahu anha hears that people are accusing me with Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu. Allah, what a nasty allegation. She said, oh Nabi of Allah, can I go home? I think I need space. I need to reflect. I just need my own. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go home. Look at the wisdom, the maturity, diffusing the most volatile of situations. After 1 month, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses our honorable mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, one-on-one. Can you imagine the sensitivity of this gathering? What's the stigma? What's the accusation on the honor and the dignity of Aisha? Allah's Nabi is seated there. Aisha radiallahu anha is seated there. Abu Bakr is seated there. Umm Ruman radiallahu anha is seated there. The Nabi of Allah gives his khutbah. Then he addresses his respected wife. Again, look at his psychology. I cried when I read this. He said, Ya Aisha, قَدْ بَلَغَنِي عَنْكِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Aisha, there's been some rumors. There's been some allegations. People are making some nasty comments. فَإِن كُنْتِ بَرِيَةً. Where did the Nabi of Allah start off? Did he start off attacking? No, he started off on an innocent note. He didn't start off accusing. فَإِن كُنْتِ بَرِيَةً فَسَيُبَرِّئُكِ اللَّهُ. Aisha, if you are innocent, then this is a gathering of not much essence, because Allah will prove your innocence. He gave her the right of innocence first. He didn't start on the note of guilt. He didn't start on the note of accusation. My Aisha, if you are innocent, it's only a matter of time and Allah will prove your innocence. Wa in kunti almamti bi dhanbin. Again, look at the choice of words. He didn't say if you did this wrong, if perchance there was a whisper of evil, then repent, the doors of repentance are over. He didn't say this marriage is over, consider it done, that's the last. I didn't get married to you for this. If you're innocent, Allah will prove your innocence. If it's otherwise, it's a matter of repenting and Allah will rectify and Allah will prove the reality. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I was a young girl, I modestly glanced at my father. When I think of what our mother Aisha went at that time, your body, your brains freeze. She looked at her father, gestured him, said, Dad, you want to speak? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was that diligent companion, that devout companion. He modestly backed out. He said, my daughter, I love you, but I don't know what to say. It is you. It is the Nabi of Allah. Be kind enough and excuse me. I'm with you in moral support, but I cannot utter anything. She says, then I glanced to my mother, Umm Ruman. My mother didn't whisper anything. I had to pluck up the courage. I had to muster the courage. And I had to say the truth. I said, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُمْ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَةِ حَتَّى اسْتَقَرَّ فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. I gather from your body language. And I understand from the ambience. And I get a whisper from the vibe. It's kind of, you've heard this so much that it's embedded in the depth of your heart. فَلَئِنْ قُلْتُ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ لَا تُصَدِّقُونِي. If I were to tell you I'm innocent, and Allah knows I'm innocent, you're not going to buy my story. And if I, وَلَئِنْ اِعْتَرَفْتُ لَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ. And if I concede guilt, you will be happy, but then I'm speaking a lie. لَا أَجِدُ لِي وَلَكُمْ مَثَلًا إِلَّا كَمَا قَالَ أَبُو يُوسُفْ. I think I will turn the pages of the Quran. And she said, وَكُنْتُ حَدِيثَةَ السِّنْ لَا أَقْرَأُ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. I was a young girl, I had not studied much Quran, but I knew the tale of Yaqub. When his sons came to him and gave him this long, sad story, he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. I said this, there was pin drop silence. مَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ أَحَدٍ. Nobody leaves. Understand the volatility. Your heart is in your mouth. You're holding your breath. You're looking in awe. You don't know what's the next move. And just then we glance and we realize wahi was in process. We realize wahi was in process. I must interject with these words of Aisha radiyallahu anha. وَلَشَأْنِي فِي نَفْسِي كَانَ أَحْقَرْ مِنْ أَنْ يَتَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ فِيَّ بِأَمْرٍ يُتْلَى. I was on track. I was confident. I knew Allah will help me. But I never thought it will happen through the form of Quran. So we observing and we waiting. Nobody left. What's my message? The best of homes, the greatest of homes had such a great challenge to deal with. But it could only be the maturity of the Nabi of Allah to nip this in the bud, to diffuse this, to avert this, and to get the wheel turning again. Revelation is in process. The narration goes on to say, حَتَّى أَنَّهُ لَيَتَحَدَّرُ مِنْهُ مِثْلُ الْجُمَانِ مِنَ الْعَرْقِ. He said, we're waiting for revelation. The moment is so heated, but we're still marveling at his perspiration. In that heat, it was looking like pearls. Wow. Like all this is happening, but even at that time, his perspiration is giving off this glow and this light. فَلَمَّا سُرِّيَ عَنْ وَجْهِهِ. When revelation had ended, again, what was his body language? وَهُوَ يَضْحَكْ. There's this broad smile. Abshiri ya Aisha. Amma Allahu faqad barra'aki. Aisha, it's over. Forget about it. Allah has proved your innocence. Abu Bakr and his wife Umm Ruman nudge Aisha. Mashallah, my daughter, you've done us proud. Now stand up and patch up with your partner. Reconcile with your Nabi. Diffuse it. How often we say, okay, 3 days, what happens? 2 days, you're not talking. Then after 2 days, the child makes a remark. Umi says she's thinking of you. Or go tell your mother, you know what, I want to buy her something. So you're trying to lighten up the atmosphere. Then you say, okay, let's talk. Yesterday it was like this poor child, the five-year-old child becomes the translator in the mutarjim. Ask your father if he wants breakfast. Tell your mother if she wants milk. And I'm like, the five-year-old child is running around. So why are you not talking to Umi? Okay, my son, you'll know it when you grow up. We're trying to patch up the relation, and in patching up, we retrogress more than progress. How often it doesn't happen? Then we say, rather, let's, you know what we say? Revealing is healing, but sometimes when you start revealing, it gets too ugly. Now look at the sensitivity. The whole cloud has been moved out. The whole question mark has been cleared. The revelation has confirmed it. Now you're dealing with a woman who's got her sensitivity, who needs a space, who needs her expression, who needs to vent. Now you need to have the maturity to give the space. So Abu Bakr and Umm Ruman say, okay, my daughter, stand up and thank the Nabi of Allah and patch up. Wallahi la aqumu ilay. By Allah, I got nothing to do with him. Who's him? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wallahi la aqumu ilay. And my Nabi is smiling. Do I have that maturity, my brother? No, I don't. Do you have it, my brother? No, you don't. And this is where the world is in misery. I told you the world is not in misery because of its chronic condition. It had chronic conditions from the inception of the universe. It is the lack of maturity by the guardians and the custodians and the pilots that lead and steer this universe that has taken us to the lowest level in which we have fallen. وَزَادَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَسْوَدِ. The narration of Aswad. فَأَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِيَدِي فَانْتَزَعْتُ يَدِي مِنْهُ. The Nabi of Allah used the body gesture, right? We all know this. We try it. You try your luck after 3 days, and you start modestly hold your wife, and oh, that ring looks so nice. But I was wearing it for 2 years. Why you ask me today only? No, I just saying it blends nice with this dress of yours. I'm tired of your sarcasm. No, I don't mean that. I mean it really looks nice. No, reserve the comments. I put my hand out to Nabi alayhi salat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I held the hand of Aisha. She pulled the hand away and she said, leave me. Did my Nabi tell her, Aisha, you know, this is the finger that split the moon? Aisha, do you know which hand you're pulling back from? Do you know this hand? This is the very finger. اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ. He pointed and he split the moon. The Nabi of Allah is on track. Leave her. Look at this, Abu Bakr, it made me cry. Then the following narration comes in Tabrani. Abu Uwana, an tariq al-Mujahid, Abi Hussein an Mujahid. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I just wanted to bring a bit of a different spin to the whole thing. It's like the Nabi, there's a sigh of joy, all has been cleared. The Nabi of Allah is threading the sensitivity to patch the whole thing. Aisha radiallahu anhu needs her space. So Abu Bakr interjects and he comes forward and he kisses her on her forehead and he says, my daughter, you've made me proud. Oh my daughter, what a daughter you are. فَقَبَّلَهَا. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, my dad, I appreciate the kind words, but I have a bone to pick with you. Allah عذرتني. When I ask you to speak in my defense, why didn't you speak for my defense? My dad, when I asked you, before revelation, when the world was against me, the nasty things were out against me, why didn't you open your mouth and defend me? Allah عذرتني. These words of Abu Bakr may it ring in the ears of every person. May it ring in particular the ears of those that are in the legal fraternity. Some of us very boldly speak a lie. Some of us very casually speak a lie. In English they say, speak the truth even when your body shakes and your voice trembles. Abu Bakr said, أَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تُذِلُّنِي وَأَيُّ أَرْضٍ تُقِلُّنِي لَوْ قُلْتُ مَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. My daughter, I could say anything and everything, but if I didn't have certainty on something, then which sky will shelter me and which earth will bear me for uttering something I am not convinced about? So I just made tawakkuf. I remained silent. I didn't say in the affirmative. I didn't say in the negative. We move on. It's the occasion of Hudaybiyah. The Nabi of Allah and his Sahaba are returning. They are denied Umrah. It's an extremely volatile situation. The hadith is in Bukhari Sharif, the first volume. The hadith number is 1192. One of the narrators of the hadith is Miswar ibn Makhrama. The hadith is as follows. The whole incident is there, and I'm not going into the details. They're coming back. Imagine the volatility of that safar. You're coming out all excited. What's your joy? You're going to make Umrah. What's your joy? Allah hal abitanna. Sayyidina Bilal said, I wish I can sleep in the streets of Makkah, and around me are the grasses of the grass and the shrubs of Makkah, the valleys of Makkah, the beautiful sight of Makkah. So that's the aspiration. To add to that vision was the dream of Nabi alayhi salam. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. So all excited, you're going for Umrah, you're going back to your birthplace. There were so many fluctuations of emotions. Sahaba were denied. Then there was a rumor that Sayyidina Uthman has been assassinated. Now that whole joyous moment is gone. Now it's panic, fear and grief. And now forget about Umrah, get beneath the tree, give me your hand and pledge you'll give your life to avenge the death of Uthman. And they have to move on from the Umrah spirit. You just go for Umrah and there's a slight hiccup and a delay and you have to put up in another country and you see the mood and the aggression and the vulgarity and the slurs and the comments and the condescending attitude and the nasty language, vituperative comments, it continues. Here there's such a turn, suddenly now swear your allegiance that you will make. You will give your life and fight tooth and nail. So they do that. Thereafter, there are 50 people who come to assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They are apprehended. وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةِ. These 50 are then released so that they release Sayyidina Uthman. In essence, I'm saying there was a yo-yo of fluctuation of emotions. After all this is done, the Nabi of Allah tells them, okay, listen, game over. Unfortunately, there's no Umrah. قُومُوا فَانْحَرُوا وَحْلِقُوا. Stand up, my Sahaba. Then slaughter your animals, shave your heads, and we need to go back. Now, on journey as it is, you get stressed out. This was a long journey. There was multiple challenges. There were great obstacles. The hadith of Bukhari, I gave you the reference, Kitab al-Shurut, that is where it comes. When the Nabi of Allah said this, not one stood up. Now see how volatile this is. If it wasn't the wisdom of the Nabi of Allah and Ummah Salma, Allah alone knows what would have happened to the Ummah at this situation. He said again, قُومُوا وَانْحَرُوا ثُمَّ حْلِقُوا. I'm saying stand up, slaughter, shave, we need to go back. Nobody stands up. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeats himself for the third time. Oh my Sahaba, I am saying please stand up. Can you people stand up? Can you slaughter? And then can you shave? We need to go back. فَمَا قَامَ مِنْهُمْ رَجُلْ. Not one stood up. These issues in safar, in hajj, in khuruj, wherever you are, these are inevitable. If fluctuations of emotions could happen in the blessed of periods, understand my pattern of thoughts. I'm saying you won't able to eradicate the world from this year. Human interaction will breed these different types of expressions. He enters into the lap of my mother, Umme Salma. May Allah give her the highest abode in Jannah. Who was now advising the Nabi of Allah at such a delicate situation? If it was you and I, we would have exploited it. Well, O Nabi of Allah, now we realize who are the faithful. We thought these were your devoted companions. Hang on, look at what's happening. No, Umme Salma understood the nature of what was happening. She appreciated the condition of the Sahaba. She read into their feelings. It was this overwhelming passion to make Umrah. And they couldn't get to grip that this is not materializing. Al-mar'atu al-aqila tabni baytaha. An intelligent woman will build a ruined nation. And a foolish woman will dismantle a built nation. Al-mar'atu al-aqila. She said, O Nabi of Allah, look at her words. Look at her words. Atuhibbu dhalik. O Nabi of Allah, is this what you want? He said, yes, this is what I want. And I've said it three times. Ukhruj. ثُمَّ لَا تُكَلِّمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدٍ Umm Salma is advising the Nabi of Allah, O Nabi of Allah, you don't make eye contact with anyone, you don't speak to anyone. The moment is too volatile. Everybody is in his own emotion. Come out of your blessed tent, ثُمَّ تَدْعُو حَالِقَكْ فَتَنْحَرْ بُدَنَكْ First slaughter your animal, and then call the Sahabi who needs to shave your hair, and let him shave your blessed hair, and I'm optimistic they will follow suit once you do this. The Nabi of Allah comes out. I'm saying, my brother, we need people like this in our organizations. We need people like this running our affairs. It's bound to happen. Which human interaction didn't leave any form of turbulence? That's we are social creatures. We have to live together. And in living together, these are the realities that are going to face us. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, comes out. He then slaughters his animal. And thereafter, he calls the Sahabi to shave his blessed hair. His blessed hair is shaved. فَقَامُوا فَنَحَرُوا وَحَلَقُوا The Sahaba follow, they stand up, they slaughter their animals, and then they shave their heads. And then the hadith continues of Bukhari. Must I tell you how volatile this was, my brother? كَادَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَن يَقْتُلَ بَعْضًا غَمًّا The hadith of Bukhari, they say we were so sensitive and so volatile, we could literally kill one another due to intense grief and rage. Such were the emotions, brimming to its maximum. Who rescued it? Umm Salma radiallahu anha. Here's another incident. I'm just telling you what I want to learn. Diffuse situations. So it was during the reign of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Banu Kilab. لِيُوَزِّعَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَاتِهِمْ To distribute zakat. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, you need to know, his father's name was Jabal, and honestly, he himself was no less a mountain. Mu'adh himself was a mountain, radiyallahu anhu wa arda. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "Kunna nushabbihu Mu'adhan bi Ibrahim." Just as Ibrahim was symbolic to a nation in his submission, in the companions of Nabi alayhi salam, Mu'adh was no less. He was such a great sahabi. In one hadith, he told Nabi of Allah that in this world, I can actually see the dwellers of Jannah being in Jannah, and the occupants of hell being subjected to torment and punishment. And the Nabi of Allah said, عَرَفْتَ فَلْزَمْ You got what everybody aspires for. May Allah preserve it with you. Aid ibn Abdullah said, I entered into the masjid. It was the opening days of the Khilafat of Umar. And there was this gathering of this young boy. Barraq al-Thanaya. Beautiful, radiant, bright teeth. Wadi'ul Waj, radiant in his face. Shadidul Udma, relatively dark skin. And he had this beautiful glow on his face. And everybody would consult him in the hadith. And I was so mesmerized and riveted by the awe of this boy, I nudged the man next to me. I said, who's this young man who has stolen the platform and taken the stage? He said, this is Mu'adh ibn Jabal himself. This is the man himself. So Sayyidina Umar sends Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Banu Kilab to distribute the zakat. He distributes the zakat. The norm of the time was that whenever anybody came, they would acknowledge the messenger. They would acknowledge the envoy with a token, with some gifts, some presents for his family back home. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was a very strict man and a very strict person, would exercise stringent values and rules upon himself, and he politely declined and he didn't really take anything. He came home, mashallah, told the Nabi of Allah, reported back to him that I have distributed everything. His wife said, and when I looked at this, I said, subhanallah, like, I know when I come back from a safar, my children are opening my bags before greeting me. And like, okay. And I guess it happens to the best of homes. What's there in it for me? Now look at this here. When he got back, his wife said, أَيْنَ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ مِمَّا يَأْتِهِ الْوُلَاتُ مِنْ هَدِيَّةٍ لِأَهْلِهِمْ Generally, whenever anybody go, they come back with a lot of gifts. Your hands are empty. So he said, you know what? She caught me on the back foot. I said, قَدْ كَانَ مَعِي رَقِيبٌ يَقِظٌ يُحْسِي عَلَيَّ I had a very vigilant guard and guardian watching my affairs. So I just had to tread very cautiously. So he used an ambiguous term, meaning Allah was watching me. She interpreted that Umar had appointed someone to monitor his affairs. So these are the words. She said, oh, so Umar doesn't trust you. He needs to appoint someone to monitor you that you don't usurp the wealth of others. You think a woman's going to sit quiet? Hang on. And when your husband is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, whoa. She says, kunta aminan fi ahdi Rasulillah. Wa kunta aminan fi ahdi Abi Bakr. So Allah's Nabi trusted you. Abu Bakr relied on you. But Umar doubts you. She said, wait, I'm coming. She then goes and I read this and I cried. I cried, my brother, you want to read filthy magazines? You want to go on porn sites? How many a woman cried to me daily and saying, my husband has a porn addiction. You're going on this site to bring value to your relation? Look at the vulnerability of this situation. Wa asha'at dhalika fi niswati Umar. She went door to door to the wives of Umar. And she said, listen, doesn't mean if your husband is Amirul Mu'mineen, he can push his weight on my husband. Right? My husband is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and he needs to know that he doesn't have to appoint anyone to monitor his affairs. Allah's Nabi trust him. My husband is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, in case you don't know. I've got nothing to talk to. He goes to the next house. Umar had multiple spouses. Maybe that was his luck. Anyway, he went there, and he spoke, and to one house after the other, she went and she said her tale. Sayyidina Umar came home, went to house number one. Whoa, there's it, coin. Umar, why you involve us in your matters? You, the Khilafah, do these things. Please don't bring these issues home. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, what's that? Muaz's wife was here and she threw such a tantrum. Tameto, what a jawadio. What a tantrum. House after house, Sayyidina Umar went and each wife gave him steak. He said, call Mu'adh ibn Jabal urgently, please. Oh, sometimes you are teaching, you have to call in a staff urgently. I wish you had the broad shoulders of Umar. Sometimes you have to call a student urgently. Can we learn to diffuse situations, my brothers? Can we learn to be mature? Ali said, radiyallahu anhu, one moment of calmness at a volatile situation will save you the regret of 1,000 moments. Calmness at that time. So Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal came. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, wait, reconcile this for me. Muaz, I sent you, right? Ana ab'athu alayka raqiba? Will I ever doubt you and appoint somebody to monitor your affairs? Because that's what your wife told all my spouses. Look at these words of Sayyidina Muaz. Aqalluhum takallufa. Aqalluhum takallufa. Umar, maaf man. She caught me off guard. I had no other defense but to blame you. Hope you don't mind. Whoa! Umar, sorry man, lakin lam ajid shay'an a'tadhiru bihi. There was no other way, and I said, let me just dump it on your shoulders. I thought she'll back off way I knew she'll take it forward. Did Umar say, oh, astaghfirullah Mu'adh, you the leader of the ulama and lies like this? Fadahika Umar. Fadahika Umar. I hope I can be measured, calculated, and circumspect here. And take it in the correct stride, and I hope I'm not offending any gender or saying anything wrong. Let me simplify my parable and progress, then maybe you'll understand it in a holistic way. Children are children. The problem is when adults become children. Women are women. The problem is when men become women. No offense to you, my sister. Allah has created you with that sensitivity. And we love you for that sensitivity. And we respect you for that sensitivity. But you, my brother, Allah has given you the broadness that Allah gave Umar. This is typical in a woman's circle. But why must I become like that? These are kids. Today you fighting with me, tomorrow they're shaking hands. And then no, I don't look at him, he don't look at me. But that child is in my house and yesterday my child was in his house. Fadahika Umar. Umar has a chuckle. And then he takes out money from his own pocket. He said, go buy her the gifts she was aspiring for and make her happy. Go buy her the gifts and make her happy.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.